So tonight we're going to be continuing in this series in the book of Acts that we've been in for the last few weeks, and it's called Unleashed. And we've been looking at what happened when the Holy Spirit came and started living in the believers, those first believers, in the same way that the Spirit comes and lives in us when we ask God to adopt us into his family. You know, that same power that spoke the world into being lives in us. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. And yet so often we take that for granted, right? We ignore it. We're not as aware of his presence and his power in our lives as we could be. And so our prayer for this series is that God would increase our awareness that the Spirit is moving in and through us, right? And that we would allow the Spirit to unleash his power through us here in this town and on campus. So today we're going to be picking it up at the end of Acts chapter 2, and we're going to see the Spirit unleashed in the community of faith, in these early believers as they do community together. So let me pray for us, and we'll jump right in. Father, we thank you for the chance to be together tonight, Lord. We thank you for the blessing that this community is, Lord. Spirit, we pray that tonight you would speak to us, that you would fill us up with good news, and that you would help us to walk in obedience as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to start in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and it'll be up here on the screen. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. I don't know what that would be. We all got needs. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking the bread in homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." So that's it for tonight, just six verses. But what a section, right? What a chunk of scripture. I know this is probably a very familiar passage for many of you. You've probably read it many times or heard it read many times. But man, when we come to it, it is freshly stunning every time that we encounter this. You know, our hearts start beating a little faster, like, yes, I can get behind this. This is awesome. What they have going on there is awesome. And the reason that it gets us so fired up is that we long to be a part of a family like that one, like we see there. Since the very beginning, there have always been these two fundamental longings at the core of humanity, and this is something that Keith talked a little bit about this weekend. There's these two fundamental longings. There's the longing to be deeply connected to God and the longing to be deeply connected to other people, right? And in the garden, we see Adam and Eve have both of these things perfectly, right? Adam is walking with God. He's talking with God. The guy knows God. And then God says, you know what? Actually, I think I need to create someone because it's not good for Adam to do this thing alone. He needs someone that's like him. And so he creates Eve. And look with me at Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 21. It says, "So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, 'This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.' And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." When Adam sees Eve, he literally starts singing. You can see how it's sort of written up there in poetry. It's poetry. He's singing. He says, at last, there's someone like me that I can share my life with. We see them walking in the garden together in perfect harmony, knowing each other and loving each other perfectly. They're walking with God perfectly. And then we know that the story takes a bit of a heartbreaking turn, right? Because this is certainly not our experience. We struggle to connect with God often. We struggle to connect with each other. We struggle to live in harmony with one another, to be deeply connected to each other, right? We know that we rebelled against God, and that harmony, that connection was shattered. And ever since, we've been searching for that thing that would satisfy those two longings. We've been searching everywhere. Everywhere we look, this is the two motivations behind almost every decision that we make in our world. We look everywhere for that thing that would give us hope, for satisfaction, and yet we cannot find it. When I was in high school, I got the chance to go backpacking out in Colorado with some guys from my church, and I was really excited to go. I had never been backpacking before, didn't really know much about it. I mean, we're going camping, we're carrying our stuff with us. I mean, it's not that complicated. At least that's what I thought. I learned very quickly that week. So that morning that we first got out there, we start walking on the trail, and as we're walking, it starts to rain a little bit. And it actually feels kind of nice. It really wasn't much of a downpour. It's just kind of a drizzle, and we're just enjoying it. It's like 70 degrees. We got this heavy pack on. We're hiking. This feels great. Never thought maybe we should cover up. Maybe we should put our stuff behind a bag or something like that. We never thought about it, and that was mistake number one. So as we're walking up the mountain, we sort of end up splitting up into a few different groups based on just the pace that we wanted to hike at. So I was with two other guys, and we're having a great time. We're hiking up the mountain, and then we come to the tree line. And at the tree line, it is literally a line where the trees stop growing because there's not enough oxygen above that level. And so the trees stop growing. We hit that line, but not only are there no more trees, the temperature just drops like 30 degrees as soon as we get there. And so that rain that felt so nice just a few minutes before is now causing a bit of an issue. And so we scramble to get our jackets on, to get our packs covered up. But really, the damage was done at that point. We were soaked, and our stuff was soaked. And so we continue up the mountain, and we are really cold. And as we walk, there's this huge sort of wall of fog all around us. We can't really see more than about 50 feet in front of us. So we have no idea how much further we have to go. We can't see the top of the mountain. We can't really see the trail other than right here. And as we walk, we're getting tired. The oxygen levels are dropping, and that is causing some issues, causing some fatigue, right? And so we get into a place where we're kind of miserable. We see this park ranger. He's walking down the mountain, and he says, "Hey, guys, you need to be really careful today because with these conditions, it'd be a great day to get hypothermia." We're like, awesome. Thanks for that uplifting bit of news right there. And on top of that, we start getting hungry. We had planned to stop, but then we kept waiting. We said, oh, we'll wait till we get to the top. We'll wait till all of us are together in one group, and then we'll stop and eat lunch. We'll wait till it stops raining, and none of those things had ever come. And so we're getting really hungry. My friend, he stops and he says, "Guys, I have to stop. I have to get something to eat right now before I go any further. Do you guys have anything in the top part of your packs that you could get to without pulling all your stuff out?" And that was mistake number two. We packed all the food right in the bottom where we couldn't get it. And the problem was we couldn't take our stuff out because it was raining and we didn't want it to get more wet than it already was. So we're frantically digging through all the little pouches in our bags, and I just kind of stick my hand down in my pack. I can't take anything out, but I start just trying to feel around, and is there anything that's loose that I could just grab? And then I feel my hand strikes gold. And I pull it out, and I grab it, and it's a Snickers bar. Snickers satisfies, right? And so it's Snickers bar. We rip that thing open. We split it up three ways. So we're talking about like two bites of Snickers, all right? But of all the meals that I've had in my life, I have never tasted anything better than that Snickers, because I'm telling you, we were miserable. And so we inhale that Snickers, but it did a lot more for us than just taste good going down. What it did was we were in a spot where we were pretty hopeless, to be honest. We were like, we should just go back. Like, they'll meet us at the car, right? We'll go hang out. We'll get a hotel room tonight. But we eat that Snickers, and it's like, there's hope. There's hope. We can do this. We can keep going. We can make it up the mountain. And so when we come to this passage in Acts, it is like finding that Snickers bar where we didn't really have any hope. We had searched, we had strove, we've looked for the things that would satisfy us. And then we see some hope that that is possible in this passage. We see a community that has those two longings satisfied, right? And it's not in often some distant future once God completes all of his work, right? It's here and now. And we start to perk up a little bit and we get excited. And it's no coincidence that this story takes place right after the Spirit comes, right? The Spirit comes and then this community is formed. For the first time, people are living this way. They're having their needs satisfied in this way. God comes and God satisfies. So let's look a little bit more at what this early family of faith did. You know, as we think about trying to replicate that, as we think about, man, this is a family I'd like to be a part of, we should probably try and just do some of the things they do. But what we're going to notice is as we look a little bit closer at them, they didn't do anything really that crazy. They didn't do anything that's like foreign to us or super spiritual or anything like that. They did some pretty simple things, and the Lord just took those things. The Spirit moved through them, and he satisfied their needs. So this was a group of people that shared life every single day. Pretty simple, right? They shared life in every area of their lives. They ate together. They went about their normal routine together. It talks about going to the temple, right? They're sharing life. These are people who sought the Lord together. They're praying together. They're praising God together. They're listening to the apostles' teaching together. And then as they seek the Lord, God starts doing stuff in their midst. And we're going to see some of those stories in the weeks ahead. But God does some pretty awesome stuff through these people. Peter and John, they're in jail. And the believers start praying and they get out. An angel comes and releases them from jail. They're going to heal some people. In a few weeks' time, David gets the pleasure of preaching about a passage where two people literally just dropped dead because they lied. So, good luck. It'll be good. There's some cool things going on. That's not cool. People drop dead. All right. But, just to be clear. But God is moving very powerfully and very clearly, and their faith is building, right? And that's something that gets us excited. Verse 44, they had all things in common. They're bearing each other's burdens. They're celebrating together. They're mourning together. They're challenging each other. They're encouraging each other. And they're selling their possessions so that everyone's needs can be met. Think about this. There's no poverty in this community. There aren't poor people because everyone's needs are being met by the people in the community. It's pretty crazy stuff, but it's simple. They're just selling their stuff, right? And then the last thing that we see in this community is that it's a place where no one is left out. Everyone is included regardless of the social barriers that might separate them in the outside world. And we know that there probably were a lot of social barriers that separated these people. If we go back to the beginning of Acts chapter 2, we see the Spirit come, the believers start speaking in all these different languages, and it says that there were people there from every nation under the sun. There are all kinds of people there. There are all kinds of different people there. And it lists off a bunch of different kinds. And so these people were all Jews because they were in Jerusalem to celebrate this Jewish festival. But beyond that, they had very little in common. Likely in this group, there were people who had very different political persuasions. There were people who had grown up in very different places and had very different experiences in life. There were people who had different socioeconomic statuses, different theological backgrounds, even within Judaism. You'll remember in the Gospels, there's these two groups of Jewish leaders called the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And these people really didn't get along. They really thought about God much differently from each other. They clashed a lot. And likely some of them were a part of this community. These two groups of people who had always been at odds were now together. We know that there were some people who were there from Rome. Likely some of them supported Roman rule in Jerusalem. We also know that there were people there who were members of this group called the Zealots. And one of Jesus' disciples, Simon the Zealot, was a part of this group. And the Zealots were essentially terrorists who worked to destabilize the Roman government in Palestine, because they believed that the Jews should be able to rule over themselves. And so these people who thought very differently politically are together. They're selling their possessions. They're eating together. And people start taking notice, right? It didn't matter where you came from, what your background was. All that stuff had fallen away in light of caring for one another, taking care of one another. So the good news for us tonight is this, that this kind of family, this kind of community, this kind of satisfaction that we see in this community is still available to us today. God uses his family of faith to meet these two deep longings in us, and he's still doing it today. We see it even in our own family, right? We've seen people as a part of this community who are very different, who do life together. We see people who have great needs, and they're surrounded by a body of people to have those needs met, right? We've seen this. And we know that it's not perfect, right? I think it's easy for us to look at this passage and be like, wow, these guys, they had it together, right? They really knew how to do life together. But it wasn't perfect. It's not perfect for us, and it's not perfect for them. In a few weeks' time, we're going to see some of these clashes that they have. And it's some nasty stuff. But they deal with it together, and it doesn't change the fact that God uses this body to satisfy those two deep longings in our hearts. And there's still an opportunity, there's still a chance for God to satisfy those in us right here in this body. Now, I say a chance because it won't happen magically, right? We can't just come on Sunday night and be like, all the feels right here, God. Fill me up, baby. You know, we're going to have to devote ourselves. That's the word that it uses in this passage. They devoted themselves, right? We're going to have to work at it. We're going to have to really engage. It takes devotion to do life with people who are different from you. It takes devotion to see the needs of the people around you and go meet them. It takes devotion to seek the Lord together. But as we do it, we can be sure that God will satisfy those two fundamental longings in us. But the good news doesn't end there. But wait, there's more, right? Infomercial. There's more. There's more to it than that. It gets even better. What we see when we look at this small chunk of Scripture, the hope that we're filled with, that we can be deeply connected to God and deeply connected to other people, now what happens is we become that hope in the world that we're in, right? We see this at the end of the passage. It says, they had favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So these people, a lot of people in Jerusalem start taking notice of what's going on in this community. Probably some of their friends and coworkers and neighbors are joining in with this group of people, these Christians, these followers of the way. And they start to take notice, and they see these people have the thing that I've been looking for. They've found it. And so they start kind of coming around, and God grows his family. And so in the same way as that happens in Jerusalem, now people look at us and they see hope. They see hope that we can be deeply connected to God and deeply connected to other people. In Blacksburg, Virginia, we're living in a world that is desperate to know the Lord. Now, most people don't know that, right? They're searching for something. They don't know that it's God, but that's the reality. We know that that's true. We're living in a world where people are desperate to be deeply connected to people, right? People are constantly looking for that thing. They go out and join clubs to be connected to people. They look for romantic love to be connected to people, all in this attempt to find something that will satisfy that longing. But when they see this body, it fills them with the same hope that we are filled with when we read this section in Acts. That same hope that we find in Acts 2, we are that Acts 2 hope now. Now, again, they might not know it, but that's the reality. This is a place, this is a body where people who are Democrats and Republicans and independents come together, and we say that is not the most important thing. We see people who are of a different racial backgrounds and all this stuff in a time in our country where racial tensions are at a high level. And people look at that and they say, that's not the way things usually are. That's something different going on there. That speaks a pretty strong word in these very divided times. What we do here in this body has monumental consequences. Yes, we can be sure that the Lord will satisfy those longings as we devote ourselves to the community of faith. But he's doing more than that. As he satisfies us, he's taking what he's doing here and he's showing it to the world. He's showing the world what he has to offer for them. And so as we finish up this morning, as we finish up this evening, we have to ask ourselves, in light of this good news about what God is doing in his family, how will we live? Because this isn't just some nice truth that makes us feel good. It's like, all right, cool, yeah, I found a church and God's going to do some stuff here. He's going to really take care of me here. It has to affect the way that we live. And so how do we live in light of this truth? Some of you here might say, right now I wouldn't say that I'm a part of God's family. And that's okay. If you haven't asked God to adopt you as a son or daughter, the question for you tonight is, do you want to? Do you want to be a part of this family? Do you want to have those two longings satisfied in you? Because that's on the table for you tonight. Jesus came and he made a way for that to be possible, for you to be adopted into this family. For those of us who are a part of God's family already, the question for us is, have we committed ourselves to a community of faith? Have we committed ourselves to a church or ministry here in Blacksburg? And we're not saying that has to be NLCF. We say this all the time. There are a lot of great churches and ministries here in town and on campus. And the important thing is that we join in with one of them and that we really sink our roots down into it. We really devote ourselves to it. Again, that's the word, devote ourselves to it. Because we can't just come and be filled up and then go out and then it doesn't make any difference, right? We devote ourselves. We serve alongside people. We love the people around us. We challenge and encourage one another. Have you committed yourself to a community of faith here in Blacksburg? Many of you have. And so the question for us is, how might God be calling you to devote yourself more fully to this community or another one of your choosing? What might God be calling you to step more fully into? And so we have some challenges up here for you as well. Join an engage group. I can't overstate how important that is. At NLCF, that is the way that we share life, in the way that we see people sharing life in Acts 2. Our engage groups are the way that we share life here at NLCF. And so if you aren't a part of one, what you're doing is it's not like God's going to be mad at you or anything like that, but it's part of God's provision for you. And so we want to embrace that, right? It's a good thing. We want to go after it. Serve in the church. I can tell you right now that we could use some help with lighting, production, and sound. No experience required. Shameless plug. We need some people. But there's a lot of other ways to serve as well. Serve with our hospitality team. Serve with our worship team. There's all kinds of different things. Look for the ways that people, or the things that the people around you need, right? The people in your engage group, the people that you're sitting around tonight. What are the needs in their life, and how might God be calling you to enter into that need and meet it? Might God be calling you to sacrifice in order to make that need be met? Give, right? We see this in this passage. They give so freely. They sell their possessions. It's an important thing. And so as we close tonight, I want us just to remember that hope that we have, that excitement that we're filled with when we read this passage. Because that can be a reality here. And in many ways, it already is. I think that we've got a couple of pictures up here that I think might demonstrate that a little bit. So we had our fall retreat this past weekend, and yesterday we got the chance to have some baptisms, and there were five people in our church family that were baptized. And the way that we do that here at NLCF is we have them sort of stand up in front of everyone and say, this is what God has done to get me to this point. They share their stories. And they are stories often of pain, even pain that hasn't been fully healed yet. They're stories of doubt. They're stories of rebellion. They're stories of struggle. All of those things are mixed into their stories. But they're also stories of healing and stories of victory. They're stories of God meeting needs. And as yesterday, as many of them shared, they talked about specific people that are a part of our church who God used very specifically in their lives, very powerfully in their lives, who encouraged them and challenged them, who showed them the way, who met their needs, right? And so as I'm standing there, I was just thinking about, I know what we're going to talk about today. And this really cool picture of the church that we get in Acts chapter 2. And I wish that we could sort of distill this moment down that we had yesterday. And we could almost just fit it right in here to the page. Because we celebrated yesterday, man. I'm telling you, there was some whooping. There was some hollering. Y'all know what hollering is, right? You got to do some hollering. We celebrated what God has done. It was this picture that God is doing that here, and he will continue to do that as we devote ourselves to this community. When we find something like that, we hold on to it, we grab it, and we don't let it go. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this hope, God. You could command us to worship you and never give anything in return, and you would be well within your rights to do that, Lord. But in the process, you satisfy us. You give us hope. You call us to life together, and we thank you for that. Spirit, we ask that in each of us, you would bring things to mind, people to mind, ways that you might be calling us to more fully devote ourselves to the family of faith. We ask that as we go throughout our weeks, that we would live in light of this good news, that we would live in obedience to the things that you are speaking into us even right now, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.